You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Most of what goes on in the world is not God. Most of what goes on in the world is us. Now listen to this, and don't think this is sacrilegious. Most of what goes on in the world, good or bad, is us. You say, well, all the good's God and all the bad's the devil. Well, all the good is God's will and all the bad is the devil's will. But how many of you know a lot of bad things happen through people and a lot of good things happen through people? And so there are people who have submitted to God's will and good has come. There are people who have submitted to the devil's will and evil has come. So evil comes from the devil and then good comes from God. But the way it's actualized or the way it, in practical terms, where the rubber meets the road, how it happens through us. And that's the way God has ordained it. So we're blaming God for a lot of the problems in the world, and most of the time it's us. Right. Or somebody. Amen. So we taught on one night, we taught on who's in charge. You know, because you often hear that scenario. You know, if God's so good, how come there's so much bad in the world? You know, well, if God were bad, how come there's so much good in the world? They kind of X out each other if you want to know the truth. But I think the question's wrong, really. If God's so good, why is there bad in the world? There's answers for that, but they mean to imply by that God does everything that happens. And so they think I got you. You know, because I know there's evil in the world, and you know there's evil in the world, so God couldn't be good because there's evil in the world, meaning that God does everything, and that's where they're wrong. God does not do everything.
That's right.
Are you with me?
Yes.
So, the answer to that question is real simple. How could God do good and evil? Well, that'd be simple to answer. God does not do good and evil. God does good. Well, why is there evil? Well, that's people that are not listening to God. You say, well, some of that stuff's not man doing it. Some of it's just famine and storms and so on. Yes, but it all goes back to a man named Adam who sinned. And when he sinned, evil came into the world.
That's right.
And that's where storms and all those things came in. That's where the devil got his foothold.
Right.
In the Garden of Eden. So you can all, every evil thing in the world can be traced back to sin. Maybe not yours, maybe not mine, but it can definitely be traced back to Adam's.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of bad things that happen to us that's not necessarily our fault. There's children born with diseases. That's nothing the child did, nothing even the parents did in many cases. But because of sin, the sin of Adam 6,000 years ago, sickness came into the world.
Yeah.
That wasn't God's will. Hello. And it wasn't God's fault. What it boils down to is authority. God gave authority to Adam over all the world. And when Adam fell, well, everything fell with him. And we've been trying to get it right since then. And the only time anyone ever got it right is when Jesus came.
That's right.
The only time you're ever going to get it right is when you give your life over to Jesus. That's when you really get your authority back, as it were, restored authority. So we talked about exercising authority last week. We talked about how you need to speak. You exercise by saying. You exercise by doing. You have to say God's word for it to come to pass. You have to pray God's word for it to come to pass. If I were in a classroom and I were a teacher in a classroom, I would have authority in that classroom. Someone's over me, sure, the principal, maybe the school board, maybe the superintendent, and ultimately the state of Texas. But they're not all in that classroom. I'm the teacher. I'm in that classroom, and I'm responsible for keeping control and taking authority in that classroom.
Yeah.
So we, as the ones that are here on the earth, God's children, we're the ones he told to pray. We're the ones he told to lay hands on the sick and they'd recover. We're the ones he told to go preach the gospel. Really, if it's going to get done, we're going to have to do it.
That's right.
I think I titled that last week. If it's to be, it's up to me.
There you go.
Hello. Now, we're not taking away from God. All of our authority comes from God. And all we're doing is what he told us to do. We're just taking our position that he put us in to fulfill his will. And he gets the glory and he gets the praise and he gets the honor, because without him, you wouldn't have any authority. Without him, you couldn't pray for the sick. Without him, you couldn't believe and have anything come to pass. But you need to write it down. If he's going to do it, he's going to do it through you and through me.
Amen.
That's because of the authority issue. He told us to pray his will to be done in earth as it is in heaven. He didn't tell us to pray for his will to be done in heaven.
That's right.
That's not our domain. We're down here.
Yeah.
Even what we call the Lord's Prayer, he says, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, how's he operating down here? Through us.
Right.
Get it? So up in heaven, he doesn't need us to pray for heaven. Heaven's fine.
Right.
God's God's there and he's got it all under control. Down here, he's using us until he comes, and he will come, and he is coming. But until he comes, we are to occupy till he comes. Amen? Hallelujah. So, you know who's in charge? Well, I guess that who died and put us in charge? Well, Jesus died and put us in charge.
That's right. Amen.
He died about 2,000 years ago. Rose again, by the way. Tomb's empty. And when he went up to heaven, he gave us authority. All power and authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore, he said. Woo, hallelujah.
That's right.
That's good stuff. Amen. So here we are. We got authority. You know, I mentioned authority over the earth. In a broad sense, that's true. We can pray, we can believe and make a difference and change circumstances and change things, tragedy that happens. We're supposed to pray. Is any sick among you? Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him. Let them anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The Lord shall raise him up. Because that's not the will of God. Sickness is not what God wants. But when God wants to do something, he does it through those who pray and believe. Isn't that right? So we're supposed to change situations and problems and tragedies and crises and so on and so forth. Don't give up when something goes wrong. Look up when something goes wrong. Stand up when something goes wrong. Don't give in. Dig in. Are you with me? Fight. Win. Believe. Trust God. Get somebody to pray with you. Let's don't throw the towel in. Let's fight this tooth and nail. God's not against you. Your fate, your destiny is not to go under. It is to win, to go over. There's tragedy in life. There's rough edges in life. I understand there's battles in life. That's why we have prayer. That's why we have promises. That's why we have authority. That's why we have brothers and sisters to pray with us and believe with us. Amen? You know, when I think of that word earth, of course, in a broad sense, we have authority in the earth. He gave us authority. Genesis 1:26 tells us that, and 1:28 also tells us that. Psalms 8 tells us that. We went over that in great detail before if you just got in on the series. But in a smaller sense, it's really bigger than it sounds. In a smaller sense, the earth we have authority over is us. In other words, the main thing I have authority over is me. That went over real big. I have authority over myself. Woo! I can tell. Y'all are just hanging from the chandeliers. This is exciting. When we talk about authority, the greatest realm or domain of authority that you and I have is over myself. And I tell you, if you get authority over, if you get to controlling yourself, man, miracles are going to start happening. They'll start happening. Are you with me? Believe in God won't be a problem. If you can get over yourself, you do need to get over yourself because we got over you a long time ago. Hello. But I have authority over me. Y'all listening?
Yes.
I got authority over myself. I have self-control. I may not be using it. I may not be trying to do anything with it, but I do have it. And I think the biggest abuse of power is not the use, but the lack of use. The biggest abuse of power is when we don't do anything. You know, as Edmund Burke had said, that all that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I think our biggest problem is we don't do anything. Here we have the ability to do something, we don't do it. Our greatest sin is probably a sin of omission. In other words, we just didn't do what we were supposed to have done. It wasn't that we committed a sin in the sense that we did something wrong. We didn't do what we were commissioned to do. We didn't make a difference. We didn't make a change. We didn't overcome some things we should overcome. And the biggest thing is me. The biggest thing I got to overcome is me. When I first got saved, my biggest challenge was me. Well, no, the truth still is me. And that's where I have the greatest realm of authority. I have more authority over me than I do you. I can make a bigger difference in me than I can you. And vice versa. Amen? We talk about somebody being subdued. You know, they're subdued. It means they're in control. They're not emotional. They're kind of quiet. They have subdued their emotions. You get it? They've gotten control. Sometimes that can be bad to be too subdued. But, I mean, you subdue, you control, you get a grip on yourself, okay? We tell people, chill out, get a grip. Quit going postal and ballistic. I know we just prayed for somebody that has a postal route, but you know what I'm saying. Get control. I mean, if there's anything you got regrets about, it's not what somebody else did. Your regrets in life is what you did.
Amen.
Your regrets not about other people's attitude. It's about your attitude.
Amen.
Your regrets in life are things you did wrong. Well, here's some good news. Praise God, Jesus came and gave us authority over ourselves.
That's good.
He really did. You can change some things. Sin shall not have dominion over you. It's what Paul said in Romans 6 chapter. It does not have to dominate you. It does not have to. Your anger, you can kill it. You can stop it. You can get control over it. Now, maybe it won't happen overnight. Maybe it'll take a while to ride this horse and break it. Hello. But you can finally break this thing if you don't give up. You can do it. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some, you know, creating some good habits and doing some things and reacting differently and praying a little more. Oh, my, I'm going to have to pray. Yep, sorry. Believe God, too. That's a new concept. Might have to start believing God and talking different and saying, but here's the good news, though. You have been given authority over yourself.
Yes.
Turn with me to Proverbs 16. We're going to talk about authority over self. Authority over me. Now, don't you start thinking about who should have been here tonight. Okay? This is for you.
Yes.
And don't wear your partner out with that elbow. And no. This is for you. Don't be pointing at me either, okay? Okay. Proverbs 16:32. This is a good one. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. Wow. That's pretty strong. A forbearing man, one translation says, he forbears, he holds back. He governs his spirit or subdues anger, one translation says. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. Everybody say, rule his spirit.
Rule his spirit.
Now there it is. See, that's rule. That's authority. That's power. Wouldn't you like to have authority? Man, everybody wants authority. Everybody wants power. I want power. I want to be in charge. Okay, here's your first charge, yourself. That's the first charge God gives us is you. I mean, my first charge is me.
Yeah.
And from there on, it's my immediate circle, my family. My greatest mission field is my family. I love missions. You know we love missions around here, and we support missions, and we give a lot of money to missions. And I've been on lots of mission trips, and I'm going to go on some more of Jesus Terry's. But my greatest mission field is my family. Always has been my greatest mission. My greatest concern, not of doubt and unbelief or fear, but my greatest focus of faith and trusting and believing and praying for God to make a difference and change and pull and tug at people has not been the world. It's been my family. My greatest responsibility is my family. And from there it goes to the church as a pastor. And from there it goes to the world. Are you with me? Got to prioritize. But it has to start with me. If I don't have anything to offer, I can't give what I don't have no more than I can come back from where I hadn't been. You ever notice when you go there you are? That's deep. You got to think about that one. But if the blind lead the blind, we both fall in the ditch, Jesus said. So I've got to get set free if I'm going to help anybody else get free. No question, I've got to be blessed to bless others. I've got to get saved in order to lead anybody into salvation. And so it's not selfish to ask God to help us. We just need to understand He's helping us for a purpose, and we're saved to serve. Amen? And as I get control of myself, I have moral authority to help others, and people will listen to me if I'm living it. And if I'm not living it, they're not going to listen to me. So living this thing, getting control of myself, and having some victory in my life, and having some peace and some faith and some, you know, having Jesus in me gives me moral authority to share with others. When they see it in me, they'll listen to what I have to say. Isn't that true?
That's right.
And so my greatest responsibility is me. My character. These are the biggest victories in life. We talk about huge victories, but the biggest victories are victories over self. The greatest victories are victories of character. Sure, that's what it is. Victories of pride, getting over pride. Self-centeredness and those kinds of things. Because then now, when people, they've been scammed. They know, they see that.
Yeah.
Are you out there? And when they see someone who's pure and is honest and they really care, they'll listen. Nothing worse than preachers just scamming. There's preachers that just scam. That's all they're doing. They're scamming. They ought to be used car salesmen. Nothing wrong with used car salesmen if you're out here, okay? But, you know, it's just metaphor. But if we're going to take the splinter out of somebody's eye, we've got to take the beam out of ours. That's what Jesus is talking about. Isn't that right? That's what I'm saying here. So we have authority, and we want to talk about authority, and praise God we have authority over the devil and, you know, sin and sickness and all those things. But see, the big thing's me. This is the big hurdle here. And it's doable. We can do this. God didn't ask us to do something we couldn't do. So he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who takes a city. We want to talk about big victories, taking cities. We'll talk about huge successes, financially or whatever. Thank God for prosperity. I believe in it. But see, real successes are not all those things. Real successes are successes over yourself. Oh, if you'd known me before I got saved. Thank God you didn't know me before I got saved. I don't even know me now. I really don't. I mean, I think, I hear those stories, and I remember those things that I did before I was saved and the kind of person I was before I was saved. But now I look at that and I think, man, that's because that old man's dead, for one thing. And that wasn't me. That's not me now. It was me then, but it's not me now. Oh, hallelujah. What a difference Jesus has made. But I had to work on some things. I got a long ways to go myself. I still got things I don't like about me. Hello. We're not making a list. But I have improved. I've gotten better. I've served the Lord for many years, and I've gotten over a lot of things. But I see things I need to still work on. I always will. You always will. That's okay. Don't beat yourself on the head. Just stir yourself and realize, hey, praise God, I can pray about that, and I can make it. I can overcome that even now at my age. Yeah. Never too late to repent and work on it. Amen? Amen. This is a good message translation. This verse says, it says, moderation is better than muscle. Self-control is better than political power. I thought that was good. I've got, you know, if I can get over myself, I've won a big battle. If I can make those character adjustments, those changes, personal victories, private victories is what we're talking about. They're the greatest victories. Character changes in the heart. I wrote some things down here. Things like the struggles that we face within ourselves, oh, like enemies such as anger and bitterness and unforgiveness and selfishness, pride, conceit, greed, lust, these are our worst enemies. Amen? And you know what? We got authority over those things. And when you see those things crop up, you need to reach out, grab a hold of God's word, start going over the promises of God and say, I got authority over this anger in the name of Jesus. I will not be ruled by anger. I am not an angry man. And you feel bitterness, gossip coming up. Just say, that is not me. That is not Christ in me. See, Jesus came to change us from the inside out. And he gave us authority from the inside out. And the greatest manifestation of authority on the outside first has been manifested on the inside. In other words, if you're going to be successful in using the authority of God in this world, your greatest success starts with yourself. And from there, you have more authority out of here. I mean, I can be the greatest teacher in the world and just teach. But if I don't live any of this and you see my life as a wreck and, you know, I have no character and can't trust me and I'm just living in sin, but during the week and just show up here and preach a message, you know, it doesn't matter how good I preach. Are you with me? It doesn't matter if what I say is right. It doesn't have any. I can say the right thing. I can quote Scripture. But you won't listen to me. And you don't need to listen to me. If I haven't been successful over me. In fact, you know what the Bible says? It says if a man can't rule his own house, how can he rule the house of God? Do we live what we preach? Well, I'm saying we can do it. I'm not saying this in a condemning manner or a downer. That's not a downer. This is to encourage us. You having trouble in some areas in your life? I am here to tell you, you can be free. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been teaching on authority here for several weeks, and the greatest authority you have right here is over yourself. You can overcome that anger, that bitterness, that critical spirit. If that's the way you are, stop it. Start praying. Come against that thing in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen. Start working from the inside out, making those different changes in your life. You will be listened to a lot more. You'll be more effective in your ministry and your witness and the people you're trying to turn around when you turn yourself around. Hallelujah. Now, this is a good quote here. I read this out of All 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen R. Covey. I've read that book several times. It was just a success book is what it was. It was just kind of a positive success book. But there were scriptural principles in it. And I thought this was a good quote. It actually was written by Ezra Taft Benson. Okay, you ready for this? The Lord works from the inside out. The world works from the outside in. The world would take people out of the slums. Christ would take the slums out of the people. And then they take themselves out of the slums. The world would mold men by changing their environment. Christ changes men who then change their environment. The world would shape human behavior. Christ changes human nature. Something happened to me when I got saved. I became a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things pass away, all things become new. Something happened on the inside of me. Now, I have to live that out, and I could have dampened it, and you can get in sin as a Christian, and praise God, you can come back. Hallelujah. But we got to get over this thing called self, this thing called me, because that's when I become effective. That's really when I become effective. I mean, if I'm going to teach on marriage and I'm, you know, slapping Brenda around, not going to be real effective. Because I can tell you, I'll probably have a couple black eyes if I keep doing that. There's two things I fear, God and Brenda. No. You know, how's that go? Brenda and I got in an argument. I didn't see her for 2 weeks. Then after about 2 weeks, one of my eyes started opening up a little bit. I could see her. Well, okay. Oh, some of this you'll get later. Come on. Trying to give you a little comic relief. Getting a little heavy here. I'm trying to lighten it up. But we can overcome ourselves. Amen? And that's what he's saying here. Rule your spirit. Everybody say, rule your spirit. Okay, authority. I have authority over me. I have authority over me. I can hold back. I can pray. I can forgive. I don't have to be angry all the time. I don't have to be depressed. Hello? I don't have to let things depress me. I don't have to live in fear. I don't have to put up with that. These promises don't just work for somebody else. They work for me.
Yes.
Yes. Amen? And that's where they work the strongest in my life. That's where I have the most authority is in my life. Woo!
Good.
Turn with me to Proverbs 25. You'll get something out of this?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Proverbs 25. And this says about the same thing, really, pretty similar to what we're preaching here. Proverbs 25, verse 28 says, whosoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. Wow, man, that's a pretty bad deal. That's like a worthless city, a broken down city. You know, when you look at it, I've seen ruins. I've been over to Great Britain, and there's a lot of castles in Great Britain and in Wales. In fact, some of the pictures we show as a background on some of our worship is from missionary trips and trips that we've been on. I preached in a Bible school in Wales for a week one time a few years ago. And we've got a lot of pictures of some broken down castles. And, you know, you can just, they're no good right now. At one time, they must have been magnificent. They must have been a great place, a protective place, a place where people lived and families were raised and they were protected from other enemies. But right now, you couldn't protect anything because the walls were all broken down. And so it's just like a city that has lost its, it's not in its prime. It's lost its heyday. It's not what it was. That's what it used to be, or not what it was intended to be. A wall was not meant to be broken down. The city was not meant to be defenseless. Are you with me? And so if we don't get rule over our spirit, we're going to be broken down and defenseless. Everything's going to hurt us. People are going to say things. We're going to get offended. Every little thing we're going to take personally. Every little sin we're going to give in to. Every little influence, we have no control. See, we're not supposed to be broken down walls. We're supposed to get control of ourselves and put up the walls and have some defense about us and not give in to every whim and every sin and every influence and every fad that comes along.
That's right. Come on.
Amen? Yeah. And not get hurt when people say things. But see, if your wall's not up, you get hurt. The least little thing hurts you. And then you lay awake all night thinking about it. And you're miserable, and your blood pressure's up through the roof, and your stomach's in knots, and it just goes on for days and weeks sometimes because you hadn't got over it. And I'll tell you what you hadn't got over. It's not the hurt. It's not the person. You hadn't got over you.
Yeah.
Wow. I speak from experience. I've let things get to me because I didn't get over it, because I didn't pray. See, I have to forgive you. Because if I don't forgive you, I'm not going to get over me. It's going to be my, I'm going to have to deal with it if I don't forgive you. If I take offenses, it's going to hurt me. It's going to hurt ministry. I won't get up here. I can't even get up here and preach if I'm mad at you and upset with you. You know, when you sin against me, I got to preach at you and love you. And if I'm conscious of something that's going on that maybe you did, or I purposely do not touch and won't minister on anything because I don't want people to think I'm trying to preach out of anger or preach out of retaliation or be a bully from the pulpit. I hate that. People just get up in the pulpit and just use it to abuse people. They're mad and they're upset and they just take it out on everybody. Man, I just pray, but I throw it up on the shelf and say, God, you're just going to have to, Holy Ghost is going to have to move on that one. I'm not going to touch that one until I'm able to do that. And I've had God do it and say, hey, I want you to do this. That's fine, but I'm not going to let the devil decide what we preach on. Or my flesh decide what I'm going to minister. Bless God, I'm going to straighten that out. I'm going to get up here Sunday morning and I'm going to fix that. But I'm not hearing the Holy Ghost. I'm just mad. Hello. And that's the wrong thing to do. And it may be wrong what's going on. And if I can do it in love, fine. Let's do it. Let's take care of it. But if I can't do it in love, you better not touch that. And you may have heard something, but I have a policy in my life. I just say, look, listen, if you're going to make that phone call, make it tomorrow. Don't make it today. You pray about it, okay? Before you get on that phone, you straighten everything out. You get on your knees and you pray about an hour about that. Pray for that person. Ask God to forgive that person. And ask God to forgive you. Me, what did I do? Well, you're in sin. No, I'm not. You sure sound like it. How does your temper, get up when you think about the situation? Does your voice get a little high? Do you start speaking real fast and shaking? Well, I'm just thinking maybe something's wrong here. Maybe you need to repent yourself. I know you're thinking, how do you know all that? Because I had to deal with it too. I do the same thing. Man, I get mad. I get upset about something. I have to calm down. I have to go pray and says, God, okay, now I need to calm down. God, I repent. And I didn't do anything, but I've already now got in sin, see, because I let it get to me. You know, St. Augustine said it this way. He said, if a bad man sins against you, forgive him, lest there be two bad men. Right. And I think the Bible tells it to us this way, enter not into another man's sin. Isn't that right? Because what happens is they sin against you, but you'll enter into it if you don't forgive them. Now, here's the good news. You can do it. You have got the authority and the responsibility. Obviously, you're responsible to do this. But you have the authority to get over yourself. You do. To subdue yourself. To rule your spirit. Yeah. To shut your mind down. To pray. Pray, 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 pray. Amen? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Don't try to get out of everything that comes along your life. Overcome it. I think sometimes we just try to get out of everything and we don't face the situation. We don't pray. You know, we got an anger issue and we just try to get out of this, you know, don't admit it. No, just plow through that thing, face it head on and say, I come against that anger in the name of Jesus. I repent of anger in Jesus' name. I repent of bitterness, criticism, whatever the case may be. God, I repent of it in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for this person right now. I'm going to pray for him. I'm just about as mad as I can get, but I know I'm wrong. And Father, forgive me. Forgive me for this. Lord, bless that person. Are you listening to me?
Yes, yes.
I'm not filling time here. This is real important. This is very good. This is very good stuff. This is what we don't want to do. It's the last thing we want to do when we're mad. It's the last thing we want to do when we're offended. It's to name that person and ask God to forgive them. We want God to kill them. Hello. And we'd like God to use us to bring that to pass. Yes. Wouldn't we? We want to be holding them and choking them where they're looking in our face when they die and seeing it's us that killed them. Come on now. You know it. I mean, you ever feel that way sometimes? I mean, maybe nothing tragic has happened to you, but I mean, your flesh wants to take over. And maybe women are not that bad. Maybe men have to deal with it more. But here's what I want to tell you. That's wrong. Okay? That is just wrong. There's no way you can make that right. If you think that, that is just wrong. There's no way to justify that. You know, you have got to pray and overcome that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Get rule of your spirit. Get control of your spirit. Hallelujah. Pray for that person and repent yourself. Woo! Hallelujah. Here's a good quote. Phillips Brooks said this. He was a poet, an English poet, years ago in the 1800s. He said, "Do not pray for easy lives. Pray to be stronger men. Do not pray for tasks equal to your powers, but pray for powers equal to your task. Then the doing of your work shall be no miracle, but you yourself shall be a miracle. Every day you shall wonder at yourself, at the richness of life which has come to you by the grace of God." Man, you can look at yourself and say, man, what a miracle. I am a miracle. God has changed me. God has overcome so much in my life. I have turned this over to Him and that over to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You can look in the mirror and see the grace of God.
Amen.
And not in a bad way to be proud, but you can say, God, thank you for the way I handled that. Thank you, because I know a year ago I wouldn't have done it that way. Hello. I know I couldn't have done that a year ago, but Lord, you've moved in my life, and I've given this over to you, and you've blessed me, and you've given me strength, and I was able to get through that and pray and not get in sin. Thank you, Lord. Wouldn't you rather have that than just doing that? Hello. It takes discipline, but you can do it. Amen. So, he says in the 28th verse, whoever has no rule over his spirit, no restraint, without restraint, no self-control. That's what one translation says. Whoever has no rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down without walls. You know, Proverbs 4:23 says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If you don't guard your heart, because that's where the power comes from, okay? That's where the anointing flows, out of that heart. So if you don't get grip on your heart and you let all that junk in, hello, and you don't weed it out, root it out, see, you're stopping the power of God, the anointing of God. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. That's what the Bible says. And it's not a manly thing to be mad. Real men love Jesus. Real men pray. Real men forgive. That's for all of us. I know I'm saying men, but I are one. So I know more about men than I do women. Okay? How can anybody know anything about women? I don't know. But anyway, that's another. Okay, whoa, wait. That's because y'all are so smart and so unique. You know what I'm saying when I say that. Hallelujah. So you want to guard, protect your heart, keep that man on the inside, get over that self. I tell you, we'll do that. If we'll submit ourselves to God, we'll resist the devil. He'll flee from us. If we'll submit ourselves to God, we'll have authority. We'll pray and things will happen. They'll happen. The anointing will come. It'll flow. Because there's nothing blocking it there, see. But it starts with me. It starts here. It starts right inside. First off, my authority, my greatest authority, my greatest realm of authority is me. Mm-hmm. And we talk about all these other outside things, and we talk about those victories, but we don't necessarily look so much to our victories over ourselves. We don't think so much about our character. We exalt people's gifts instead of their character. And gifts may open doors. I've heard it said this way, but it's character that keeps the door open.
Yeah.
And gifts may get you to the top of the mountain, but it is character that keeps you from falling off the mountain. Mm. And sometimes we're gifted way beyond the point to where our character can sustain us.
Right.
You have to think about that. So you need to work on your. We all need to work on our character. Work on our love for one another. Work on our praying for one another. Work on our anger. Work on lust. All these things. These are important things. These are sometimes hidden things. They're sometimes personal things. But they're the greatest things. They're the things down in the ground, see, that we don't see. But they'll determine what comes up out of that ground.
Yeah, that's right.
Isn't that right? I mean, that's what we've been planting down in there. That's what's down covered, often hidden. But see, eventually it won't be hidden because whatever you've got down there is going to come up out of that ground. And whatever you plant, you are going to reap. Eventually. So we want to reap the right thing. Amen? Mm. I'll tell you what. Turn to Psalms 1. Psalms 1. Is this helping you?
Yes.
I'm stirred up about it. I know that. Psalms 1. We all know Psalms 1. Goodness gracious. I'll tie this in too. I know you're thinking, what does this have to do with it? Well, I'll figure it out in a minute and we'll tie it in. No, really, I know where I'm going with this. Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Well, there's some insight right there. How do I start making a difference in my life, making a change in my life, overcoming some of these problems? Well, don't hang around people that have those problems. Isn't that right? Don't let your friends be scornful people, people that are critical all the time, that have really nothing good to say about anybody else. Don't hang around those people. Hello? Now, if you want control, if you want a control over alcohol, in other words, I tell you, the greatest thing an alcoholic can do, someone has trouble with alcohol. I know something about that. I mean, I have my family, I have a lot of, in my family, a lot of alcoholics, recovered alcoholics. But the greatest thing you can do to stay sober is to not go to a bar. Okay? This is deep, real deep. And not go and hang around the counter where they sell whiskey and beer. And then not hang around people that drink. I'm just talking about alcohol, if you have an issue like this, okay? So who you hang around with, see, is going to influence you.
That's right.
Because that's going to get in you.
Yeah.
And you are like a garden. That's what you are. And now you have authority over this garden. You can decide what is planted in it. You can decide what is growing in it. You can decide what you're going to weed out of it, what you're going to water,
yeah,
and what you're going to kill. Okay? Your life is like that. It's like a garden. And so you want to make sure that this kind of stuff doesn't get in your garden. Now, you're the one in charge here. You can't blame God. If you went out and hung around those people, that was, see, you had the authority to stop that.
Right.
Not watch that, not read that, not hang around that person, whatever the case may be. But if you don't, see, that's going to get in your garden, and it's going to grow. Real simple. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now here, see, I have the ability to plant myself by living waters. This is awesome. I have the authority to plant myself wherever I want to plant myself.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to realize that wherever I plant myself, I'm going to pick up, I'm going to grow and bear fruit of whatever, wherever I plant myself. If I plant myself around God's people and plant myself in the house of the Lord, plant myself in the good word of God, then I'm going to bring forth that kind of fruit. Now, you can't blame God if it turns out bad and you're out there with the wrong people, because you are over this garden. You are the one who has authority over this garden. You decide where you plant yourself. So you want to be careful where you plant yourself.
Right.
Isn't that right?
That's right.
So let's be wise and let's go plant ourselves in the right place. And it says here that he shall be like a tree planted. Well, who planted him? You say, well, God. No, God didn't plant me. I planted myself.
Yeah.
He just told me not to plant myself over there with those other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the wrong kind of ground.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't need to be planted there. I need to be planted. Because wherever you plant yourself, that's what you're going to grow.
Wow.
You know, they developed the 10-15 onion. The 10-15 sweet onion, you ever heard of that? Texas A&M, I think, did that. They developed the 10-15 onion. They call it the 10-15 onion because it's October the 15th. They had several rows of onions. They planted different kinds of soils. They put these stakes up, you know. And the one that says 10-15, they planted October the 15th in this certain type of soil. It came out to be a sweet, just awesome onion. And they market it all over, everywhere. 10-15, sweet 10-15s. That's what they call them, you know. And I've eaten several of them. How about you? Okay? All right. But the thing about 10-15 onions, you can get the slips, the onion slips, because they usually sell them in slips, not seeds. The ground you plant them makes a difference in how they taste. Because you can take them home, plant them in your ground, and they don't taste the same. Why is that? Because of the ground you planted in. Because they suck up the nutrients and everything from that ground. And if the ground's not right, it's not going to be as good as the pristine ground they put it in or perfect ground that they put it in when they developed it. And it's important the type of soil that the seed grows in. See, You and I have authority over what kind of soil we can plant ourselves in. We do that by choosing friends. We do that by fellowshipping. We do that by coming to church. Now, if we plant ourselves in the right church or plant ourselves around God's Word and God's people, then we're going to develop and bear fruit. The fruit of the Spirit instead of the works of the flesh. We'll develop love, kindness, temperance, meekness, those the fruits of the Spirit, see, instead of the works of the flesh, lust and greed and anger. But if you're around that, then that's all you can produce. So we have a responsibility, and our greatest responsibility is us. And our authority to make our lives, we can choose our destiny. That's what we're saying. You can determine what you're going to turn out to be. Just like you can take ground and you can determine what's going to grow there. You can prophesy your future, just like every farmer prophesies that ground. I mean, you go by any farm, when you see it plowed up and it's been planted, you ask that farmer, hey, what's that out there? Well, that's corn, and there's nothing but dirt. And you say, well, what are you talking about? That's just dirt, man. What do you mean that's corn? I know, but I planted corn, and that's a cornfield. That's my cornfield. You come around here in a few months, you're going to see corn growing up there. Garden is anything but natural. A garden is something controlled. When you see a garden, you see someone that took authority over some ground, that decided what was going to grow there and pulled out what he didn't want growing there. And if you're going to be what God wants you to be, it's anything but natural. It's not going to naturally happen. It comes by you disciplined and taking authority over your life, choosing where you plant yourself, choosing to root out things that you know are wrong in your life, take authority over them. Begin to replace them with the right thing, and then begin to flourish and grow. Amen. Psalm 92. 92. Hallelujah. Helping you? Psalms 92. I love Wednesday nights. Wednesday nights we get a little more intense. I figure you're serious. You come Wednesday nights, you're serious. I figure you can handle it, amen, if you're here Wednesday night. I mean, come on. Psalms 92, notice the 12th verse, says, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, or grow to greatness, the Knox translation says. I love that. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Man, I love that. See, now, if you want to really flourish, if you really want to change your life, if you really want to be what God wants you to be, you need to plant yourself in the house of the Lord. Plant yourself around God's people. Plant yourself around the Word. Amen? They shall still bear fruit in old age. Hallelujah, somebody.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Everybody over 20 ought to say amen to that. I'm not pointing anybody out of it. For what everybody in here. They shall still bear fruit in old age. Why? Because of the ground they're in. Because they have decidedly planted themselves in the courts of the Lord. They have planted themselves by the rivers of living water. I mean, read through that, but you have to understand the authority and the responsibility to plant yourself is your authority, your responsibility. You're the one that does the planting. And he says this, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. In other words, my life will testify of his righteousness. My life will testify that he is a rock and that he is upright. Because I've got over myself. Amen? I've taken authority over me. And all that junk that tries to come up. I've decided I'm going to root it out. I'm going to weed it out. I'm going to hoe it out. I'm going to water and plant the right things. And I'm going to plant myself in the right place. Hey, Jeremiah 17. This is a good one. Jeremiah 17. Man, I got authority. How about you? I have got authority over me. Jeremiah 17. I'll back it way up here. Notice this in the fifth verse. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man or the strong, mighty man who trusts in the arm or the flesh of man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. The idea that you can do it on your own. You can't do it without Jesus. You've got to have God. You've got to have the Lord. You've got to have the Word. You've got to have the promises. You need Him, amen, to make this happen. So cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord, for he should be like a shrub in the desert. I think the Message says like a tumbleweed never getting in the ground. Just drying up. Like a shrub in the desert. And shall not see when good comes. He'll miss it altogether. But shall inherit the parched places in the wilderness. His life's going to be miserable. In a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. See, this is kind of a repeat of Psalms 1. But I think it gives some insight here. It says his hope's in the Lord, not in the man, not in man. So what you believe in determines what you're planted in. What you trust in determines what you're planted in. What you're planted in determines what you're going to grow. If you believe in the fearmongers of our day, if you believe in the economic doomsayers of our day, if you believe in and trust in our government, and we pray for our government, sure, but if you're believing in trusting in our government and trusting in man to solve your problems, then, well, you know, you need to buckle up because you're in for a roller coaster ride. Yeah. I take that back. You're just going to go downhill. You probably won't go up at all. But see, we can live in the midst of all this and have our hope and our trust in God. Because what I hope and trust in is what I'm planting myself in. And what I'm planting myself in is what's going to determine what's going to grow in my life. And I have the right and the authority to decide where I plant myself. I have authority over my own spirit. Nobody can make me believe in God or not believe in God. Nobody can make me fear or not fear. That's my choice. See, God said, fear not. He didn't tell you to fear not for someone else. He told you to fear not for yourself. Amen? So it says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Wow. So if I trust and I hope, I am planting myself deep in the waters.
Yeah. Amen.
And you know what happens when you do that? You start drawing in all that sustenance, all that strength, all that power. The world's just passing by, but you're getting all your strength from the waters that you're planted in.
Yeah.
Amen? And you're growing and you're overcoming some things they're dealing with, but you're overcoming it. Because you made a decision, praise God, I'm going to trust God. I'm not going to give in to this. I'm not going to trust in man. I'm not going to bulldog my way through it and just, you know, jump in there like a bull in a china shop. That's kind of our attitude sometimes. We just, if we holler loud enough, then we can fix it. I'll just take control. No, see, you're losing control.
Yeah.
You're not taking control. Well, I just, bless God, I just went in there. I just took control. No, you just went in there, bless God, and you lost control. Okay? All that hollering and screaming, now you didn't take any control. You just lost it.
Yeah.
In fact, that's what we say. Man, they just lost it. You know what we say? Now, that's more accurate than take. You didn't take control, you lost it. Get control over you first, amen? Okay. Okay, let me wrap this up. I didn't get near where I want to go with this. That's because y'all needed this. My goodness. Yes. Seventh verse. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes. We will not fear when the heat's turned on. The heat may be on, but we will not fear. Amen? Why? Because we were planted. And that was my choice where I planted myself. And I decided to plant myself around God and His Word. Amen? In the house of the Lord. And I will flourish in the house of the Lord. Amen? And I'll meditate in His Word day and night. Praise God. And I'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth my fruit. What fruit? Kindness, mercy, goodness, long-suffering. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what we're talking about. I'll bring forth my fruit in season. When the test comes and the season comes, love will come out, not hate. Because of where I'm planted, see? Now, if you're not planted in the Lord, not planted in His Word, not planted in church, then when the test comes, that's not going to come out of you because that's not what you're planted in.
Yeah.
You'll have no control because you never decided to take control, see? All right. Eighth verse. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. In famine, we will prosper. In recession, we will be abundantly rich. We are blessed when everybody's cursed. 1,000 fall on our side, 10,000 fall on our right hand. Because we've got control over the one thing we really got the most control over, and that's us. I got peace like a river. See, Isaiah 48:17 says, oh, thus says the Lord thy God, 17 and 18. Thus says the Lord thy God, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, which teaches thee to profit, which leads you by the way you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Then had your peace been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. God wants to teach us to profit, but we got to listen to him. Amen? And if we'll do that, our peace will be like a river. And our righteousness will be like the waves of the sea. We can do it. Amen? Amen. You got authority over yourself. Let's say it together. I've got authority.
I've got authority.
Over me.
Over me.
All right, well, just go take it. Amen?
Amen.
Sounds like we need to take a little authority. Amen? Amen. And exercise it. Hallelujah.